The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text is Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is, "The Last Will Be First." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, every time I start thinking that I am someone special in our Lord's church, I remember the parable of the workers in the vineyard, which is our gospel lesson for today. There is probably no passage in the scriptures that is more deflating to the pious ego than this one. And the point of this passage is this. You can spend your whole life being good and pious, even committing your whole life in the service to the church, but in heaven, you will get nothing more than the criminal who rejected God his whole life, but then repented and was baptized on his deathbed. That means Mother Teresa gets the same eternal reward as the thief on the cross. Go figure that one out. The parable begins with a vineyard owner who went out to hire workers for the day. He hired them at different times, all to do the same work. One group was hired at 6 a.m., another at 9 a.m., the next at noon, another at 3 p.m., with the final group hired at 5 p.m. When the closing bell rang at 6 p.m., all the workers came to the office for their pay. The owner told his foreman to pay the last ones first. The ones hired at 5 p.m. and who worked only 1 hour got a day's wage, which was a denarius. Going in reverse order up to the workers that started at 6 a.m., he paid each one of them one denarius. When all the workers were paid, the ones hired before 5 p.m. began to grumble. They said, "Hey, those guys got the same pay we did, and they only worked a fraction of the time we did, and they did that in the cool of the afternoon. That's not fair. We should be paid by the hour. That's how everybody else does business." The vineyard owner heard this conversation and told them, "I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't I contract with you for one denarius? You are getting what we agreed on. I have the right to run my business in the way that I choose. Are you envious of others because I am generous? Take your pay and go." And then Jesus concludes with these words, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The proper interpretation of this parable comes by reading it in the context of the immediately preceding passage in Matthew 19, 27 to 30. And that's not printed out. We didn't read it. But that's the context, so I'll read it now. Peter answered Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. End of quote. Matthew 19, 27 to 30. So what was Peter's problem here? And that problem occasioned the parable of the vineyard that we have today too. By attaching his life's career to Jesus, Peter thought he was going to be somebody important in Jesus' church. He was ready to be a hero for the Christian faith. And eventually Peter was granted that wish. But it didn't turn out quite the way that he thought it would. First, and you all know this one, Peter denied Jesus during Christ's trial, thus relinquishing his role as a heroic leader of the church. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension. But that only led to his being arrested by Herod Agrippa during the persecution of Christians, Acts 12, verse 3. Oh, that's pretty good. You get to be the leader and then you get arrested. Peter welcomed the Gentile Cornelius into the church, but that only led to the division of the Jerusalem church between, on the one side, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, Acts 11, verse 2. The result of this division was that James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was not really an apostle, became the leader of the Jewish Christians, and they were the dominant group, at least in Jerusalem. And Peter became the leader of the minority group of Gentile Christians. Well, from that time forward, James became the undisputed leader of the Jerusalem Christians, and Peter fell into a position of obscurity. And then, when Peter went to Rome on a missionary journey, he was soon arrested and then executed in 64 AD during the reign of Emperor Nero. Well, so much for Peter's story. But what does this parable mean for us today? Martin Luther interprets it, and I think it's very helpful to read this, so I will. Luther says, "This is a rather subtle gospel lesson. Young folks and mean-spirited people will learn very little here. The Lord told the parable in this fashion so as to distinguish clearly between his kingdom and the worldly realm, and thus to remind us that his kingdom operates with principles different from the standards of the world. The baptism that I have is the same baptism that any little girl receives. The faith that Peter and Paul has is the same faith Mary Magdalene and the thief on the cross had. As Christians, you and I also have the same. Here then in Christ's kingdom, all are the same, even though one is higher or lower as far as worldly status, office, or talents are concerned." That's Luther from his House Postles, the first volume. So what is this kingdom of God? In the small catechism under the second petition, we learn that the kingdom of God is God's ruling as king over the whole universe, which is his kingdom of power. Secondly, the church on earth, that is the kingdom of grace, and the church and angels in heaven, that is the kingdom of glory. In these three realms of God's kingdom, believers are equal and treated the same by God, though they may have higher or lower status in the world of men. In the case of Peter, although he was first among the apostles, he had no special privilege in the church over them. He and the apostles governed the church as equals. That's clear in the Treatise on the Power and Primacy of the Pope, sections 7 to 11, and that is an official confession of the Lutheran Church. And this is how the church should be governed and organized today, as our Lutheran confessions teach and our Missouri Synod forefathers actually practiced. And this is also how the society of a congregation should behave itself in this kingdom of grace. We should all treat each other as equals, giving mutual respect to both young and old, new members and veterans. Status is something you may have, and you can use that outside the church. But inside your congregation, you are all equally brothers and sisters. The newcomer who is baptized and confirmed has as many rights and privileges as the veteran who has been here all his or her life. Now, what the veteran has to contribute, hopefully, is the wisdom of years of experience in this congregation. The congregational patriarchs and matriarchs can explain to all of us how and why this congregation has done things in certain ways. And the newcomers need to listen to that, and not just change things to put their own stamp on things. The newcomers, for their part, may have new ideas and new talents, which we can all use for our mutual benefit. And thus, everybody is respected with the gifts they have, and every gift of the Spirit is used for the common good. The more difficult part of Jesus' teaching has to do with the kingdom of glory, that is, all the believers and the angels in heaven. Jesus' doctrine of equal rewards in heaven for all tempts people to, quote, hedge their bets. In other words, Christians intend to live it up here on the earth, ignoring the church and God's will until their last days on earth, and then accepting Jesus as their Savior and getting all the benefits of eternal life. And these people are what I call hedge bettors. They intentionally plan to get Emperor Constantine, who became a Christian and made the entire Roman Empire Christian, he set a bad example when he waited to convert until his dying day. People still do the same today, or they wait to get serious about religion until their first heart attack or cancer diagnosis. But then, we should not complain, those of us who are lifelong Christians. To the problem of hedge bettors, Jesus says, through the mouth of the vineyard owner, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own merits? Are you, the lifelong Christian, envious because God is generous?" Those of you who are lifelong Christians need to honestly ask yourself, are you envious because God is generous? You and I should just be happy and eternally grateful that we have a place in heaven prepared for us. Indeed, Jesus reminds us with these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." John 14:1-3. In our Savior's name, amen.